Father, once again, we are so delighted to be in your presence as a family. We are so happy. We take pleasure that we can gather together just to wait upon you, just to spend this time together in your presence. Father, we are grateful. We look to you. We ask for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Open the eyes of understanding as you empower us, O God, to walk in the finished work of the cross. Thank you so much for the hunger you placed on every heart on this line. Continue, O God, to sustain this altar for you over this nation. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. On behalf of our ASLPN leaders, and on the various and our staff and everybody that are working behind the scene, I just want to thank you all so much for your prayers for us, especially this week. We've been announcing about our 24/7 prayer worship, and you have been praying, and some of you on this line, you were able to join us and be with us. I want to thank you that have been praying, and those of you that were with us, thank you so much for making time to be there. We are so thankful for the fruit we are seeing, for the breakthrough that is releasing, and for the impact that is made. There's so much testimony coming out of this, and there are people we know that are already testifying that as before they came to that meeting, for months they've been trying to get a breakthrough on something, and as soon as right after that meeting, things just started opening up, they're so happy the breakthrough that they are receiving, and so many things that happen on the spot, and things that we are still unfolding. We want to really thank God and give God all the glory. But thank you so much for being there. I know that we'll continue to get more testimonies of what the Lord has done. I would have said we've even opened this night for testimonies, but we'll do that, you know, at the appropriate time as we collect these testimonies together. But thank you so much. Thank you and all our leaders on the line today. Thank you so much for your inspiration and leading with example. Amen. To God be all the glory. Tonight, actually, we'll continue in what the Lord has been awakening our understanding to in 2018 about not only praying the will of God, but walking in the will of God. Actually, this 24/7 worship is one of that example. So we pray. In the middle of prayer, God begins to unfold his will. And when he unfolds his will, means he either shares it through a vision or speaks it, you know, or gives us a direction. So, and then you obey. And out of that obedience, meaning walking in God's will, then God begins to manifest fruit in that direction. So in 2018, the reason we're staying on this area of the will of the Lord is because that is the only place in the Bible where Jesus literally said, this is how prayer works. This is how prayer works effectively. So this is in Luke chapter 11, where Jesus taught the disciples how to pray, the effectiveness of getting results in prayer. And the emphasis we are looking at in this year is what the Lord has highlighted, is thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Or if we personalize it, we're praying, God, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. First, we are not only praying God's will to be done in our ministries, so whatever God is wanting to do this year, God wants your will to be done. And as God begins to lead us, and we say, God, we want your will to be done in this program, in this place you're leading us, in my workplace, to just pray in the will of God. So today I want to share some of the impact of praying the will of God and walking in the will of God. And I'll give a few examples so that we can really focus on doing that. For example, one of the impact or effects of praying this prayer this year, Luke 11 prayer, is the will of God is the only way that pleases God. All through the Bible, you see Jesus says, I have not come to do my will, but the will of my Father, for I do that which pleases him. The will of God is the finished work of God. We said from the beginning, you know, in Jeremiah chapter 4, God spoke to Jeremiah, said, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. While you were in your mother's womb, I set you apart and I ordained you to fulfill my will, to fulfill a purpose, a plan. And that purpose is tied to destiny. And destiny is God's finished work. What God has already planned in heaven, God knows the end from the beginning, and he knows exactly what he wants to do in every generation. So he's just looking for people who are willing to yield to what he's already planned to fulfill. And those are the people that manifest his will. So God's will, he knows the end from the beginning to the end, is a finished work. So whenever we pray the will of God and we walk in the will of God, we are pleasing God. Two, we are walking in the finished work. And whenever we do the will of God, the will of God is the wisdom of God. The will of God is the will. Whenever we pray the will of God, we're praying the wisdom of God, and we are walking in the wisdom of God, which is far above the wisdom of man. Whenever we pray the will of God, we are asking for the ways of God. We are walking in the ways of God, and the ways of God are higher than the ways of man. They are the thoughts of God. Whenever we pray the will of God and we want to walk in the will of God, we are walking in the direction, the leading. We are being led by the Spirit whenever we are praying the will of God and walking. We are walking in God's direction and we are walking in his plan. Another thing again, whenever we pray the will of God, we are praying the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith. Because the will of God is not anything we can fathom with our human mind. God's will does exceedingly, abundantly above our expectations. So God's will only is contained by the wisdom of God. So whenever we pray the will of God, we are asking for the will of God, then we have to connect to the will of God by faith. We are praying a prayer of faith. And so, whenever God's will is revealed to us, we know it's an answer of the prayer of faith. So we can, then, we have to walk by faith. The will of God can never be understood with human mind. So, whenever God responds to the answer to us praying the will of God, then we have to walk by faith, not by sight. Whenever we pray the will of God is the will of God is already a programmed victory. The will of God is already a programmed victory. Because it's the finished work of God, then it's already victorious. The will of God is a victory prayer. Is when you are praying the will of God, you are enforcing victory. The will of God has no contention. The will of God does not contend with any circumstance, with situation, with the devil. The will of God is the word of God, is God himself. So you are enforcing victory at every level when you pray the will of God. The will of God is victorious by itself. It's victory. It's a finished victory. Whenever we pray the will of God, the will of God is the wisdom of God, which means the will of God is the strategy of God. Whenever we're praying the will of God manifests the strategy of God. Whenever God reveals his will to us and we walk in it, we are literally walking in God's strategy. So, the will of God is what pleases God and is what manifests the plans and purposes of God on earth as it is in heaven. So, I want to read a scripture, just an example of the will of God as it relates to the strategy of God, as it relates to walking in God's direction, as it relates in walking by faith, as it relates to victory, as it relates to God's strategy, God's plan that overthrows the enemy's strategy, and as it relates to pleasing God, and as it relates to manifesting the promises of God. So I want to read one specific example, and the rest I can illustrate. When the Lord sent Moses to Egypt, you know, God gave him certain, you know, mandates, and Moses was operating in those mandates and what God has spoken to him. Now, as Moses was executing God's plan in Egypt, towards the end of what God was doing with Moses in Egypt, you know, Pharaoh was overwhelmed, and Pharaoh now told them, you can leave, you know. So they were given that command, and they started coming out of Egypt. So as they came out of Egypt with that victory after the blood and all the stuff, in Exodus chapter 14, God started giving Moses exactly his will. God started giving Moses his plan, his strategy. And this is how God gave it to him. I'll read from Exodus chapter 14. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp between Pehah-Hirath, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-Zephon. Before it shall you encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh, now God, when God gives us a word, he doesn't always give us details. He just wants us to obey. But this is just giving us, this is one place God will give you details, and it just for us to have understanding. So he gave Moses a little bit of why he's telling him to do that. He says, for Pharaoh, that is his enemy, will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. And God says, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. Now we'll fast forward and come to verse 9. But the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and the chariots of Pharaoh and all his horsemen and all his army, and overtook them and encamping by the sea besides Pihahiroth before Baal-Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, that's looking in the natural, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were so afraid. They were so afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, Hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt us with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it has been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we shall die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear you not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And you shall hold your peace. Of course, Moses was struggling here in verse 15. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they move forward. But lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thy hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon all his host, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I shall have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. Amen. Now, you know the rest of the story. Pharaoh was driven at this time with so much force with his army, and God, you know, parted the Red Sea, and they walked on dry ground, and there was such victory. And if you read from verse chapter 15, the children of Israel has crossed over on that side, and the Red Sea, you know, cover the Egyptians and destroy the whole army of Pharaoh, this man. And the children of Israel now on the other side, Moses lifted a prophetic song. Moses lifted a prophetic song, and the whole children of Israel went into this unspeakable celebration of joy. And Miriam and the women, they lifted up tambourine, and there was such a rejoicing and singing and celebration in the camp. So what we are seeing here is an example of the different platforms that we can operate from this, from this aspect of the world. God is already finished his work. God told Moses from the beginning, started with Abraham, told him all his plans, what he would do, when the dispensation shall come. When the season came, God raised up Moses. Now God prepared Moses. Now he's giving Moses prophetic instructions. They've seen all these miracles in Egypt. Now they've come out of Egypt, and now God says, here is my will. This is my plan. I'm not going to take you through the normal human routes. I'm going to take you to the way of the wilderness. And then God instructed Moses. He told him, go this way, go that way, go towards. Normally, sometimes that's all you hear from the Lord. Do this, do that, as you begin to grow in the things of God. But God had to explain to Moses, give some understanding why he's telling Moses to go that way. Because Moses knows that will lead to nowhere. So he explained to Moses why he would do it. So Moses is now walking in the spirit. When you walk by the instruction of the Lord, even though you are in the flesh, even though people see you, but because you are obeying the word of the Lord, you're walking in the spirit. You're walking in obedience, you're walking in the spirit. So Moses is walking in the spirit by obedience. The children of Israel have not received the same revelation of the will of God, which is the finished work of God, which is the direction, which is the plan of God, which is the victory part of God, which is the strategy of God. They've not received that instruction, but Moses have received it. So now, as Moses was walking in the will of God, walking by faith, because he knows that direction will lead nowhere. He knows the track. Walking by faith, Moses is now pleasing God because he's walking in the plan, in the supernatural. But in the natural, what Moses is doing does not make sense. Because as he now got to that place, the ways of God don't make sense to man. Now, to make matters worse, Pharaoh is now being provoked. God has fed his pride with the foolishness of the ways of God. So Pharaoh looked now and said, these people are stupid. They are foolish. Now I am going to now get my way. I'm going to destroy. I'm going to take them back. I'm going to have my, you know, now the pride of Pharaoh has been fed. So Pharaoh now is now driven based on the foolishness of their obedience. And they are now blocked by the Red Sea. They are blocked by mountains. There's no way to get off. So that's foolishness. That's why the cross is foolishness. So the Pharaoh started coming. Now, there are two platforms that are now observing what is happening. As one platform is the children of Israel. They are walking, they are moving in the will of God, but their platform is the flesh. Moses is walking in the will of God, but is walking in the platform of the Spirit. So there are two different people now, two different expressions. So those that are standing on the flesh, seeing through the eyes of the flesh, looked at the Egyptians coming in the natural, looked at the Red Sea, looked at the mountains. Immediately, their mind connected to God's foolishness. They said, this is crazy. Moses, you missed it. We've warned you. This is not the way you should go. This is not the way you should lead us. It doesn't make sense. We would have preferred you left us in Egypt, where things make sense for us. But here you brought us. Now we are going to be killed in the wilderness where there is no grave. The enemy is now furious. We are in trouble. And they cried out. Now, the first thing I want to bring to you here is what the Lord started dealing with me. You see the word here in verse 10. It says, and when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were so afraid, and the children of Israel cried out. The first thing God told me, the prayer of fear does not move God. It's the prayer of faith. God does not operate under fear. So it has to be a prayer of faith. So the will of God, when you pray the will of God is always the prayer of faith. So here, the children of Israel were praying, but they were praying from the platform of fear. And to show you they are praying from the platform of fear, they immediately looked at Moses and say, this, what you're doing is no more obedience to God. It is foolishness. You just brought us here to die. Why they are praying to God for victory? So that, first of all, fear and faith are opposite. Fear is when you stand on the platform of trusting God. Faith is when you stand on the platform of trusting God. But fear is when you stand on the platform of flesh trusting God. So here, they were afraid. They were standing in the flesh and they were seeing through the lenses of the flesh. And they saw the dead end. They saw the end. And then Moses, who now has received strategy from the Lord, received the word of the Lord, has been received the will of God, received the direction, now walking in the finished process of the Lord, now started speaking by the Spirit and started talking to them by faith. One group said, we are going to die, our end has come, and it's going to be a miserable death. But the other group, faith said, Moses said unto them, fear not, stand still and see the deliverance of the Lord, which he will show to you this day. For these Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them no more. The Lord shall fight for you, and you hold your peace. But the reason why Moses said that by faith, but they put pressure already on him, that Moses still went to cry out to God, and God said, Moses, this is not the time to pray, this is the time to act. So number two, this is what God has shown to me. When we are praying the will of God, when the will of God begins to manifest, and like this scenario here, when God begins to manifest, things begin to happen. God is showing me, says, it's usually the time to move forward. Move forward in worship. Move forward in prayer. Move forward in worship, in thanksgiving. Moses said, lift up your rod, which is a sign of testimony and thanksgiving, and lift it up and face, move forward. It's always the time to move forward. No matter the fear on this side, the fear on that side, the concern, we lift our hands and just worship God, moving forward by faith. One of the things the Lord showed me, he says, many times we pray and we pray and we pray, but when God has answered the prayer and we're moving in the direction and there's opposition, immediately we stop, we start getting afraid and start praying. He says, sometimes when we are already experiencing a manifestation of prayer, there's opposition, there's resistance, things have not fully come to full manifestation, God said, just worship and move forward. Just worship. Thank me and move forward. And then the rest will begin to happen. Faith without works, without obedience, does not activate full manifestation. Faith without works is dead. Works means keep obeying God. Action. Sometimes, I've caught myself praying about a certain situation, praying until God forced me to take action. Say, you pray too much about this. I've answered a long time ago. You step out in the direction of what I've told you. And I didn't step out as I should until God used situation to force me out. And as soon as I obeyed, that's when the thing came true. So there's a time to pray, and there's a time to obey when God has given instructions. And then we see results. So, when we pray the will of God, we are praying the finished work of God. And when we are praying the finished work of God, we are automatically enforcing victory in that situation. And when we pray the will of God, and it starts manifesting, we are praying the directions of the Lord. And when we pray the directions of the Lord, then God is calling us to walk by faith. Because when God starts giving us direction, it doesn't make sense to the human mind. Because God's ways are higher than our ways. We obey, follow the directions of the Lord. It doesn't make sense. Like it didn't make sense to the children of Israel. The cross is always going to be foolish to the world. But it's always, the cross reveals the power of God. For example, it did not make sense for Jesus to go to the cross. That's why Paul says the cross is a foolishness, but it's the power of God to those that believe. It didn't make sense, but Jesus says, it's not my will, but your will. So when he prayed that prayer, not my will, but your will, means, okay, I'm going to the cross. That's the direction. That's the will of God, is the cross. It didn't make sense to the flesh, because the flesh says, I'm going to die. But in the spirit is the power of God. It didn't make sense to man. It's foolishness to the world. And the will of God is always foolishness to Satan. But it's the wisdom of God. The will of God is always the wisdom of God. The will of God enforces victory. The cross was the victory. That's where victory took place. Because that's where Satan was finally stripped off, defeated, and overthrown. Just like God told Moses here, go in this direction, go in the direction of my will. What did God tell Moses? He says, this is my strategy for the end of Pharaoh's plan. I will wipe Pharaoh out. I will destroy him at this time. I'll be glorified. This is my strategy. But how did he look to the natural Israel and to Pharaoh? To the natural Israel, it was disaster. To Pharaoh, it was foolishness. Now I can destroy these people. So the will of God never makes sense to the devil. The will of God, he says, if the princes of this world had wisdom, they would not have crucified the Son of God in 1 Corinthians. So when we are praying the will of God, we cannot operate the will of God with our senses. We will never obey him. We'll never hear his voice. We think we are planning our own. Another example of the things I listed to you here about when we pray the will of God, we must be ready to receive the instructions of the Lord regarding his will. And his instructions, his directions, is something we have to step up by faith. We have to understand that it leads to victory. It's always the strategy of God. What another example of this is this popular story about 2 Chronicles 20, when this fortress, fortified alignment of Israel's enemy, Judah's enemy, came together in such a multitude and threat to destroy Judah when Jehoshaphat was king. They had no hope, no way to contend with this particular problem. So they went into prayer, they went into fasting, and then God spoke his will, and God spoke his strategy, God spoke his plan, God gave them his direction. And the will of God came through prayer. It came through fasting. God speaks. They've been waiting. And God said, this is my plan. This is my will. You're not going to fight in this battle, but you're going to just worship me. And when you worship me, you're going to move towards the camp of the enemy as you do that. That is crazy to the flesh. That doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense to the devil. It doesn't make sense to man. So whenever we are praying the will of God, the reason why God is telling us this, as we start praying the will of God this year, God will start giving us his direction. He will start giving us instruction, and they will not make sense. So we must begin to prepare ourselves. If we're praying the will of God, God is going to answer, and he's going to start speaking. He's going to start giving directions. He's going to start giving understanding. And once we obey, the will of God will always bring forth victory, bring forth fruit, and bring forth overthrow. So we have to walk by faith. So Jehoshaphat, being a man that has come to the knowledge of knowing how to obey God's will, knew that God has spoken and moved according to what God has spoken. And that was the wisdom, the plan of God. And the angels of the Lord, the armies of heaven, every time we are walking in the will of God, they are always ahead of us. When you walk in the will of God, you mobilize the armies of heaven ahead of you, the entourage of heaven ahead of you. Anytime you operate under the will of God, you have the full backing of heaven enforcing the will of God. The kingdom of God will be present to enforce the will of God. So, and that's what happened with Jehoshaphat. The will of God was enforced. Now, it's not something we wake up overnight and we get used to it. It's a process. It's a training, you know, that God takes us through. One other area of the will of God is, if you see an example Jesus gave in the area of prayer, and I've seen this personally here and there in my personal life, and that's why God is amplifying the need to focus on this area in 2018, is the story that Jesus told in Luke chapter 11. After teaching them this prayer, praying the will of God, he finally told them how to get breakthroughs when you pray the will of God. And he gave them this key, and he said, a friend was hungry and came to his friend's house, and there was no food. So the friend now went to his friend's place that had bread. And when he got there, he started knocking on the door and kept knocking, kept knocking, kept knocking, kept knocking. And instead of the door being open, he receives a response from the inside that they are asleep, they can't open the door, it's too late, you know, they can't open. But then he kept knocking, he kept knocking, he kept knocking. And finally, the friend opened the door and gave him all the bread. That's a breakthrough prayer. That's an open heaven. That's how to break forth, to break through, to receive whatever heaven has prepared for us. So that illustration Jesus gave there again shows that whenever we are praying the will of God and God reveals his will to us, we must wait upon his will. We must wait, because waiting on the will of God is how breakthrough comes. It's how God gives breakthrough. It's how God manifests whatever we're waiting for. But once we pray, God will show us his will. And once he shows us his will, we must wait upon the Lord in worship. Just keep there until the breakthrough comes. Because God says the breakthrough must come when we wait upon him. So whenever we're praying the will of God, waiting on the will of God, God will eventually reveal his will. That friend knew, he knew that he knew there was bread in that house. And he waited for it until the breakthrough came. So whenever you're praying like Jehoshaphat, God revealed to them and said, this is the plan. Another example was Jericho's wall. You know, Joshua experienced an angel. God has already told them they will possess Jericho. The angel came and the angel gave them a strategy. What was the strategy? It was simply instruction, a direction, what to do, how to do it. And you all know the story. It's very foolish what God told them to do. It doesn't make sense, but they obeyed. And that shifted everything. And the final example here is the cross. The cross is the ultimate. The Bible says Jesus is the author and the finisher of faith. He is our example. He says, who despised everything, you know, to endured everything that was contrary against him for the joy that was set before him, you know, to bring the victory. So the cross is the ultimate example of pleasing God or walking in the will of God. It shows that the will of God never will make sense to the flesh, because even the disciples did not understand the cross. They all ran away. Jesus prayed in his flesh. Is there no other way? But later it says, not my will, but thy will be done. That's the highest manifestation of the wisdom of God. And that was what defeated Satan. Like I said earlier, Paul put it this way. He says, if they had known wisdom, the princes, the principalities, if they had known wisdom, they would not have crucified the Son of God. Meaning it was foolishness to them. They thought, we got him now. We have destroyed him now. We really, see, but that was the end. See, with God, there is no limitation of what God can do. God can raise the dead. God can heal the sick. God can restore anything. So whenever God tells us to obey him, shows us his will, there is no level of obedience that God cannot redeem us from the situation. But every time we obey God, our obedience will manifest the finished work of the cross. Our obedience will please God. Our obedience will keep us in God's direction and plan. Our obedience is a work of faith. Our obedience is a manifestation of victory even before you go into the battle. Our obedience is God's strategy. So in all, our obedience is all that God requires. Because if our obedience leads to what happened to Jesus, he raised us from the dead. If our obedience leads to anything, whether it's giving, God will give us more than we gave. If our obedience leads to anything in the Bible, look at it. Sarah's womb died, God raised it back again. So God is not limited to supernaturally restore anything that will cost our obedience. Peter says, we've given up everything to follow you. They were given hundredfold and much more, even while they were here. God has no limit to restore. While we are obeying God, we think we'll lose this, or we're going to, this will happen, or that will happen. No, God already has the end to the beginning covered. And the reason why people always fear to obey God is because it's the obeying the will of God takes you out of control. It totally takes flesh out of control. You cannot control the will of God. It is beyond your ability to control. So you have to trust God. So that's why we struggle with it. So I said all this again as a way, as I round up, to share just one personal. There are so many testimonies I could share with you about that, but I want to share one that is a general knowledge to a few people on this line, so that it's not, I'm not just telling a fairy story. Last year, for example, basically, let me say one thing for sure. Almost everything that ASLPN does is directly connected to praying the will of God from the beginning. And then God will give instructions, and we just follow it. Some, he will just give directions what to do. We just follow it little by little. And that is what has led to whatever favor and the things that God is giving to doing with ASLPN around the nation. You know, that there's no way we can even touch the glory of it, because it's beyond what men can do. Now, last year, just to give an example of what I just shared, there was a prayer meeting that was going on online, and a word came that ASLPN should go and have a 24-hour worship in Washington, D.C. Period. That's all he said. 24-hour worship, nothing but praise and worship. That's instruction. That's God was just downloading his will to us. And all we did was obey. From the moment we stepped out to say, okay, where are we going to have it in this? God led us through a process. You just know it's his will. And the way God provided the venue was supernatural. Because we tried to use, to rent here, but the way God provided for time, it was totally supernatural. We went to one meeting. That meeting led to meeting somebody, and the person said, I have where you're looking for. And God planned that place. Why do I know God planned the place? Because when we went there last year to pray, while we were obeying God, a miracle took place right in the meeting. We thought, okay, that miracle took place. You know, let's leave it. It's happened. Let God be glorified. We didn't pay attention. Only to go back this year and find out that miracle that took place eventually will be something that will help Nigeria. It's something that will help Africa. And eventually we'll share with you more what this means. It's an open door that God just prepared a year ago, but if we did not obey God, that would not have manifested. But now a door has been opened that will literally lead to a very big need in Nigeria that might be met through this door by the grace of God. So whenever God speaks and you know is his will, you don't know how you're going to do it. Obedience always pleases God. And once you obey, God begins to work on your behalf. There are so many other things we can be sharing about that. But I just wanted to share that just as a way tonight of thanking you all and giving God glory for what God is doing as we hear him. And the good thing is, as we obey God in little things, learning his ways like Moses, not just his hands, and begin to see God manifest his will, then we are encouraged more as God gives direction and speaks. It now becomes easier and easier when we hear the voice of God, will be, because we know the end result is always going to be victory. It's always going to be fruitful. It's always going to be pleasing to God, and it's always going to be the finished work of God, and it's always going to bring about the defeat of Satan in everything we do. Whenever you're walking in the will of God, from this story of Moses, God has taught me. He says, whenever you know that you're walking in my will, then don't worry about what the enemy plans to do. I will fight your battles. So whenever you're obeying God, the battle is never yours, because you're not doing your will. The person you're obeying is responsible for fighting your battles. And that's why Moses said, stand still, God will fight for himself. And he will fight for you. Jehoshaphat said the same thing. Stand still. God will fight this battle. Why? Because you are walking in the will of God. And God will defend himself. That's why it's so important for us this year. Whatever it takes, pray the will of God until you receive God's wisdom and direction. What to do. And once you start doing it, you rest. Because God will take care of the rest. Thank you, Father, for bringing us into this year, the 70th year of Israel's Jubilee. Father, we pray that 7 represents the number of rest. The only way we rest is that we know your heart, we walk in your will, because we cease from our own works, we cease from our own abilities, and it totally empowers your spirit to do things on our behalf. So, Father, we desire this year that you give us grace to wait on you until we hear from you. And give us the ability to obey. And as we obey, we will see the results we're seeing and even more. Receive all the glory for what you're doing. And have your way. In Jesus' name, amen.